How are we doing, Celebration? Are we doing well? Hey, let's put our hands together. Hey, before we get started in the message, I know that we have clapped like close to 200 times this morning. Can we have all the dads just stand up? Can all the dads, if you were a dad, a grandfather, I guess you would have to be a dad to be a grandfather, but if all y'all can just stand up. I just want to say something to all you guys. I just want to say something real quick to all you guys standing. I'm the student pastor here, and I just want to say thank you for what you do with your children and getting them here to church. Your sons or daughters are looking up to you as the man to be, and if you have a daughter, they are looking at you for the way that you treat their wife, their mothers and them, for the man that they're going to look for, and your sons are trying to be like you. Regardless of how they act, trust me. They're trying to be like you. So can we just please give it up for all the dads? And sir, right there in the blue shirt, you look like you have a handsome and well-built son. Happy Father's Day, Dad. I'm glad you're here. Listen, there is no better present for my dad that I'm actually not drinking anymore. I mean, this is like to him, testify. I mean, like he's fired up. Hey, my name is Josh Turner. I'm the student pastor here at Celebration Church. Before I get started, I just want to say thanks to Pastor Stovall and Carrie for giving me the opportunity to speak. It is always an honor to be asked to do anything like this and to be used by God, because I'm an idiot. And I was that way for a really long time. And that's kind of what I'm talking about today. Not the fact that I'm an idiot, but we'd be here for days. But the fact that God wants to use you in your weakness. And today we're starting a series called Unstoppable. And I love this idea. I love this series because we as Christians are unstoppable. And I feel like that so much, we forget that so many times. And it's not that there is anything in us, there is nothing specifically about you or specifically about me that makes us unstoppable. It's the fact that we serve the sovereign God of the universe who controls absolutely everything. And because of that, we are unstoppable. But because of situations or circumstances, we have allowed people to tell us that we don't have what it takes, that we're not good enough, and that we're not strong enough. And we allow our fears to keep us back from the potential that God has for each and every one of you. And each one of you has potential. And if I could preach one message, I think that this would be the message, is that you were created with a purpose. I know every time I preach, you guys are like, he's going to talk about purpose, and I'm going to get a glare off of his bald dome. That's the two things that you guys are going to get. But I want you to know that. I mean, I want you to know that because we live in a world that doesn't tell us that. We live in a world that tells us that, man, you have one life, and just do what feels good, and just party, and do whatever. And because of that, so many of us never step into the purpose or the potential that God has for us. And we allow fear to keep us bound. We allow our lack of courage to keep us from stepping into the purpose and the potential that God has for us. And let me tell you, man, you were only born with two fears. You have the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. Every other fear that you have is a learned fear. If you can learn it, you can unlearn it. And if you can't unlearn it on yourself, then what God's going to want to do is he's going to want to come in and give you the strength that you need to be the man or woman that God has called you to. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. And this is kind of where we're going to stay today. The path to your greatest potential is often through your greatest fear. You see, God has potential for you. He has a purpose for you. He is taking you somewhere. There is nothing random about what's happening to you. And sometimes for God to take you where he wants to take you, you're going to have to face some fears. And you're going to have to walk through some fears that you have about yourself or that you just have about life. And this is what the Bible says about fears. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That spirit of fear that you have about yourself, that's not from God. Now, there are some good fears to have. I mean, we don't wrestle lions. We don't chase animals. Like, you know, we don't jump off buildings. You can't fly. Like, there are some good fears for us to have that are healthy, smart fears. But those fears that keep you bound, those fears that tell you that you'll never be good enough or that you don't have what it takes or that you're not strong enough, those are not from God, because you, every one of you in this room, are made in the image of God. When God created you, when he knit you together in your mother's womb, he made you in his character. You are made in his image, so you have his strength, his courage, his wisdom. He made you in that image. All those fears that you have, all of the fears that we all have, they're not from God. They're from Satan. And Satan wants nothing more than to destroy you. Like, you are made in the image of God, and I'm about 99% sure that Satan hates God. So if you are made in his image, then wouldn't he want to destroy you? So what he's going to do is he's going to tell you, he's going to get you to start believing fears about yourself. He's going to start getting you to believe that you're not good enough, or that, you know what, you just don't have what it takes. And what we're going to look at is we're going to look at a story of a guy by the name of Gideon that really bought into this. That he really believed that he did not have what it took. And if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn with me to Judges 6. It's going to be chapters 1 and 2. I'll give you a second to get there, because what we're going to see is Gideon, man, he forgot who he was, just like so many of us forget who we are. Let's pick up the story. It says, "Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites, because the power of Midian was so oppressive. The Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds." So here's what's going on. So over 200 years before this, Israel went and defeated the Midianites. God's blessing was upon them, and they went and they conquered the Midianites. And they were bad, boy. And so what happens is Israel, if you read the Old Testament, Israel had this really big problem of God delivering them from something, or taking them through something, or pulling them out of Egypt. And God did this for Israel. And then over a certain amount of time, Israel would start thinking that they were the bomb. It would be all about us. Israel, we're awesome. You know what? We don't really need God. It was all us. I mean, like, I know God helped us out of Egypt, but it was really us. And they would, and you can see it time and time again, Israel would do this. And so at this point, Israel has done this, and God says, okay, you think it's all about you, Israel. So I'm going to go ahead, I'm just going to take my hand of blessing off of you. Let's see how much of you this really is. And when God took his hand of blessing off of Israel, what happened is Israel, the nation of Israel, quit growing. They quit multiplying in numbers. But the Midianites were reproducing like rabbits. I mean, the Bible says that they were like swarms of locusts. There were so many Midianites. And what they decided was, they were like, all right, well, we're bad now. I mean, we got a huge army. We're going to go and we're going to defeat Israel. But you have to remember, they were defeated by Israel over 200 years ago. So they weren't going just to conquer. They were going to destroy. They wanted revenge. They were going to get Israel. And most historians say that Midianites were the first people to domesticate the camel. Now, I just want you to imagine that you're an Israelite. You've never seen anyone ride a camel, and then there is someone riding on a camel at you with a sword. Like, that's a whole different ballgame of warfare. And so what happens is the Israelites are like, that man is part camel. And they run and they hide in caves and strongholds. And they are basically hiding because they are consumed with the fear that the Midianites are coming to destroy. I mean, they're stealing their crops. They're burning them. They're taking their land. They're killing their sheep, their cattle, everything. So what does Israel do? God, it's us again. Hey, sorry about it. I was thinking about it. It was all us. Could you help us out? So God, because God is full of grace and mercy, says, all right, Israel, I'm going to help you out. And so what God does is God chooses a man by the name of Gideon to go and to rescue the Israelites out of bondage. And if you want to skip over to verses 11 and 12, I'm still in Judges 6. "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." So here's Gideon. Gideon is hiding in a winepress, and he's threshing the wheat. He's hiding because he knows if the Midianites see him, if the Midianites find out where he is, that they are going to probably kill him, and then they're going to take the crops. So Gideon is hiding. And then an angel appears and opens to a dude that is hiding. "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And he must have just been like, "Huh? I think you got the wrong guy. How is it that an angel of the Lord appears to a person that is hiding out of fear and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior"? It's because God saw something in Gideon that Gideon didn't see in himself. How many of us is that us? How many of us have we allowed the world or our circumstances or our situations or something that has happened to us in our lives to make us look at ourselves in a way where we don't see what God sees us in us anymore? Can you imagine Gideon? This angel appears and he calls him a mighty warrior. And Gideon, what happened is all of Gideon's insecurities rose to the surface. All of them. Just like us. Come here, insecurity. These are the small insecurities. How many of us? How many of us, just like Gideon, when God calls you, you are the first to know why you're not the person for the job? Or when you just feel like something has been laid on your heart, you have the wrong person. It's not like angels of the Lord make mistakes. It's not like, you know, "Oh, what's your name? Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know." All angels have eagle wings in my head for some reason. But what do we do as people? We want to try to push like our insecurities down. But they keep rising. They keep coming to the surface, and that's what happens with Gideon. All of Gideon's insecurities rose to the surface. And Gideon knew every reason why he was not the person that God needed. But what Gideon didn't know is that God doesn't care about your position. God cares about your potential. See, God saw in Gideon what God had made Gideon for. He said, "Gideon, I understand that, but I didn't make a mistake." See, God didn't make a mistake with you. God's strength and courage is in you. You were made in his image. But for so many of us, we have listened to what the world has told us about ourselves. And it's made our insecurities keep us from the potential that God has. And instead, what we do, instead of going to our Heavenly Father, we turn to other people that try to help us keep them down. And the fact is that we can't. And what we're going to look at right now is we're going to look at a couple of Gideon's insecurities. The first insecurity that Gideon had about himself was Gideon was afraid that God wasn't faithful. "But sir," Gideon replied, this is verse 13, "if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened?" How many of us has there been something, a circumstance or a situation in your life where it's happened to you and your first response is to blame God? Listen, I please know that I've been there. It's a daily struggle. We have this idea of God that, "God, you are a good God and God is a good, so nothing bad should ever happen to us." But can I tell you what we do? What we do is we blame God for a lot of things that God had absolutely nothing to do with. I remember my wife and I, she wasn't my wife at this point, she was my baby's mama. Hey, hey, hey. We had our first child out of wedlock. I was 22, she was 20. She's watching on the internet right now. She's like, "Don't do it." So she was 20, I was 22. And I can remember when she came to my fraternity room, because I lived in a fraternity house. I was an idiot. She came in, she's like, she takes her sunglasses off, and it's just mascara everywhere. And I'm like, this is not going to be good. And she's like, I'm pregnant. Do you know what my response was? Why, God? How could you do this to me? And God's like, yo, I didn't have anything to do with that. Like, that was all you. But how many of us do that? Like, that's what Gideon's doing. Gideon's saying, God, why are you letting this happen to us? He's questioning God's faithfulness. He's questioning God's character. God's like, listen, can I just tell y'all something? God has given all of us free will. All of us, because God loves us, he did not want to be a heavenly dictator. He didn't want to be pulling your strings up in heaven. So God gave us all free will to be able to make our own choices. And what has happened, is we have made horrible choices that have hurt each other, that have hurt others. And then we make our choices, and then we want to blame God for it. And that's what Gideon's doing. Gideon is questioning God's faithfulness. Gideon's questioning, God, can I really trust you? Can I really believe in you? Like, God, are you really in this? Let me tell you something. If an angel appears to you, he's in it. Like, there's no, well, maybe. He's in it. I don't know what an angel of the Lord looks like, but I'm pretty sure it's intense. And, like, there's no doubts after that. And so Gideon is questioning God's faithfulness. And can I tell you that I went through that 2 years ago? My daughter was born. I have a 2-year-old daughter. She's special needs. When she was born, she spent 3 months in intensive care. They didn't know if she was going to live, and I was a pastor at the time, but I had to find out who God was. I had to find out who he really was by listening to or looking at the Bible and listening to him in prayer. I couldn't listen to who this person said he was or this person. I needed to find out who God truly was because I was at a crossroad where I was questioning God's character. And can I tell you, like, there are going to be times in life where that happens, that you are going to face something, that there's going to come a time where you're just like, whoa. Like you guys heard last week with Mark Geiger. He came up here and he talked about his 18-year-old son taking his life 2 months ago or a month ago. That's a curveball. That is a man, I never saw that coming. And I'm sure that Mark at some point was asking, why God? Why me? But what happens, just like Gideon, is that, man, we are blaming God for things that God had nothing to do with. That we have just made horrible decisions. And I came to a place with my daughter. God, you did not cause sickness. Evil does not come from you. But we live in a fallen, broken, and sinful world. And because of that, there is sickness and disease and war and famine. And so, God, I'm gonna quit blaming you. But Gideon hadn't gotten there yet. Gideon was questioning if God was faithful. The second insecurity that Gideon had was Gideon was afraid that he wasn't good enough. It says this in 15. But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. So here's Gideon threshing the wheat. The angel appears. Gideon, you are a mighty warrior, and God is with you. How does Gideon look at this angel who I'm fire, eagle wings we talked about, and say, but you don't understand. You've got the wrong guy because, see, my tribe, my clan, we're the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the weakest in my family. So you probably want, like, somebody else down the road. As if the angel of the Lord was going to be like, what's your address? Oh, man, I'm 2 houses down. God doesn't make mistakes. If God called you, he called you. It's you. There's nobody else. If you feel like God has put something on your heart, no matter what it is, it's God. He's not making a mistake. But what we have had happen to us as people is our insecurities rise to the surface. Because remember, Satan knows your insecurities. The Bible says that he is prowling around you like a lion. He is looking for a way to bring you down. He knows your insecurities. So when God calls you and God says, I need you to step up and do this, with whatever it is, Satan's, but you remember that time that you did that? You're not good enough. And your insecurities, they just start rising up. They start coming up. Can I tell you? I can tell you every reason why I'm not the person to be doing this. I can tell you, I'm gonna use these stairs, y'all. I can tell you every reason that I am not the person to be preaching. I can tell you every reason about myself that I don't deserve to be a man of God that preaches the word. I know that I don't spend enough time with my family. I know that I don't pray enough. I know that I don't spend enough time reading the word. I know that about myself. I could have every excuse for God to tell him, God, you got the wrong guy. Listen, my parents who are here, they used to get phone calls from Tallahassee when I went to Florida State saying, Dad, I'm in jail. Dad, I got a DUI. I could tell you every reason why I'm not the person. And I guarantee you that if I were to go around here and talk to some of you and say, man, what do you feel like God's put on your heart? And ask you, you could say, well, I feel like God's put this in my heart, but, man, it's just not me. And you could tell me every reason that you are not the person for God to use. You could give me every excuse while the entire time that God's saying, I don't make mistakes. I don't make mistakes, but we're going to give God our resume of why we are not the right person. And can I just tell you, can I let you off the hook? Can I tell you how nervous I get every time I preach? I must have rehearsed this message to go over it yesterday like 18 times. To the point where my 7-year-old is like, oh my gosh, please stop. Can we go to the pool? And I'm just like pacing around the house, like going over it. He's trying to hit me with a sword. Seriously, I rehearse this so much to make sure I get it in my head because I want to make sure that I know it. And then I'm going to pray that God shows up because I know that I could come up here and say some numbers and quotes and some Bible scripture. And if God isn't in it, then no one's life is going to be changed. And so me and my son, we were sitting down at the kitchen table last night. I was teaching him to play poker with candy like any good father does. I took him to the house. If any of y'all want a Twix, holla. So I'm teaching him to play poker. And I'm not lying. At one point, he's got his cards in his hand. I mean, he wasn't holding much, so. And he looks at me across the table and he goes, Dad, do you have 0.3 of Gideon? And I go, what? He goes, you know, that message that you did like 8 million times today. And I was like, oh, go to your room. And so, but I could tell you every reason why I'm not good enough. I could tell you every one of my weaknesses and my fears. Just like I am almost 100% sure that you could do with me. That you could tell me all about yours. But can I tell you that makes you perfect for God to use you? Can that just set you up for God to come in and use you and work through you in a way that you would never be able to do on your own? God wants you to have insecurities so that he can come in and be glorified. So that he can come in and do something through you and you can point to God and say, I don't know, that was all him. So if you are taking notes, here's the first truth of Gideon. The first truth of Gideon is with God, his strength through your weakness is exactly enough. Your weakness is exactly what God wants. Let's just be honest in here. If you could do it all on your own, how many of you would be sitting in these seats right now? How many of us? I mean, if money was making it rain on people, like I had no problem with money, my family was great, my marriage was like, oh, like we were running down, doves are flying over us and stuff, like, would we need Jesus? Would we be pointing to people saying, I'm able to do this because of him? See, what God wants to do is he wants to take your weakness and your insecurities, which all of us have. All of us, every one of you in here, man, you know what it is. You can think about it right now. And God wants to come in. He wants to work through it. He wants to do something in you so that when someone says, well, how did that happen? Or, man, I didn't see that coming. You can say, dude, this is not me. This is all God. God wants to come in with his strength, and he wants to pop. Some of y'all need to switch to decaf. It's like I shot y'all. I mean, like, but he wants to come in. Oh, man. And he wants to pop. I've done this for two services, and at least once I have not popped a balloon. I don't know. I should have brought my switchblade. God wants to come in, and he wants to give you the strength so that when you are able to operate in your weaknesses, you know that it's him, and you are able to point to him. And that's what God is doing with Gideon. Gideon's given God every reason. Well, God, I don't know if you've noticed, my clan's pretty weak. And there's like an angel standing there with like a fire sword. And he's like, and I'm really tiny. And God's like, what? I don't make mistakes. God wants to work in you through your weakness so that when you are able to do something for God, you know it's God and not you. I recently had a friend who goes to church here. He might actually be in here. I just did him and his wife's wedding. I used to say I married them, and people are always like, that's weird. I'm like, no. Like, I did their wedding. And so we were talking one day. He came in and met with me, and it was one of those guys I went to high school with. I used to drink and do all this other stuff with, and we'll just leave it at all this other stuff. And it was kind of one of those things where you, like, see someone you haven't seen in a really long time, and you're like, holy cow. And it's like that long, slow embrace that you run across. And I was like, dude, come in and meet with me. I want to see what's going on in your life. Like, how'd you get back in church? And we were sitting in my office one day, and I'm like, how are you in church? Like, tell me, man. Tell me what's going on with you. He's like, well, you really want to know how I'm back in church? I said, yeah. He goes, well, I started following you on Facebook and on Twitter, and I started reading your blog. And I said, if God can fix Josh Turner, he can do anything with me. And I kind of looked at him like, it's one of those statements where you're like, thanks. Like, you don't know how to, I guess that's good. All right, high five. And so he said that to me. But what it let me know is that because of my weaknesses, because of my lack of abilities, because of the self-doubt that I have in myself, because of my lack of biblical knowledge or whatever it is you want to say that keeps me bound in fear, when I come through and something happens big, it's easy for me to say, it's not me. It's God. And that showed me that this guy saw, there's no way you can do this because I knew you and you're an idiot. So it has to be God. My mom's in here. She's like, testify. And so like, so that's what God was doing with Gideon. That's what God's doing with you. He's wanting to take your weakness. Listen, God isn't looking for you to be able to do it on your own. God is just looking for you to say, I'm here, God, use me. God, I don't have it all together. God, I don't know everything. Maybe dads, God is calling you to step up and to lead your family in a godly way. And it's, well, God, I don't read my Bible enough, and I don't pray enough. Actually, my 13-year-old child prays more than I do because he goes to Fuse, and that makes him awesome, and plug, student ministry. And so God's telling you to lead your family, and you're giving God all these excuses, and all God's saying is, just step up and say you'll do it. Don't worry, I'll take care of the rest. Maybe you are called, and God's calling you to stay home and to homeschool your kids or whatever, and you're giving God every reason that it's not you. God's just looking for you to say, all right, God, I'll do it. I got to trust in you. Because when God comes in and gives you his strength, you will do more than you ever could on your own. And Gideon finally starts to realize this. Gideon finally gets to the point, and this is what it says. It says this in Judges 6:16. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. So Gideon finally gets it. All right, God, you're going to be with me. I'm going to go, and we're going to take out the Midianites. So Gideon goes, and he starts raising up an army. Gideon raises 32,000 men up. And then God shows back up again. And you think that God is going to look at Gideon and be like, I told you I'd help you. But God looks at Gideon and says, you have way too many men. Well, God, I thought we were going... I thought, God, that you told me that we were going to take out the Midianites. God, I thought that you were calling me to go to battle. I am, Gideon, but you have too many men. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk up to these 32,000 men, and I want you to tell them if any of them are scared, they can go home. Seriously? Hey, if y'all are scared, you can leave.
See ya.
22,000 men left. 22,000 men. Gideon is now left with 10,000. So Gideon must be, I would be thinking, God, you must like give us weapons that we don't even know exist yet. Like a machine gun or something, and we'll just take out the Midianites. God shows up again. Gideon, you have too many men. Gideon, what I want you to do is I want you to take them down to a river and allow them to drink water. The ones that get on all hands and knees to drink, I want you to send them home. The ones that cup the water with their hand and drink it like this, those are the guys you want to take to battle. 9,700 men got on their hands and knees and drank like a dog out of the water. And Gideon is now standing with 300 men. And remember, they're getting ready to go to war with an army that the Bible says are like swarms of locusts. See, what Gideon learned that day is the second truth about God. Is that sometimes with God, the way forward is often backwards. Sometimes God is going to take you to a place. It's going to seem like you're going backwards. See, God has potential for each of you. God knew Gideon's potential was to go and to defeat the Midianites. And the entire time what's going on is Gideon feels like he's doing this. He's just walking backwards. And so Gideon must be saying, all right, God, well, what's going on? I don't understand this. See, God knew that if he allowed the Midianites to lose to Israel with 32,000 soldiers on Israel's side, Israel would make it all about them. It would be all about Israel. Look at what we did. Man, our tactician, our skill, our armor. I mean, did you see me with that sword? I was like, what? And like, I mean, they would be bragging all about themselves. And God didn't want that. God wanted them to rely on him. So now Gideon has 300. And he's like, all right, they're getting their weapons. And God's like, whoa. We got one more thing we need to do. Instead of taking like swords and javelins and the things that you spin around your head to trip people, what I want you to do is I want you to get jars, torches, and trumpets. Now we're going to do some work, Gideon. If you're Gideon, I mean, you have to be thinking, but God, we're going forward. You told me to take out the Midianites, and now I got a jar and a trumpet? What is going on? God needed Israel to rely on God and not Israel. God was preparing Gideon for the potential that he had. God was walking Gideon through a season where he would have to trust in God and nothing else. And can I tell you that that's where so many of us are? That God is taking us through something. God is walking each one of you through something. And it may seem like you're doing this. But what God is doing is he is building in you a trust and a courage that when you have that, it can never be taken. Ever. Can you imagine Gideon and you have to fight the next battle after you beat the Midianites with 300 dudes? What are you going to say? There's no way we're losing. God's on our side. And what God wants to do is he wants to build that in you. He wants to build a courage in you. He wants to build a strength in you. But what God has to do for so many of us is he has to break us of ourselves and teach us to rely on him. And that's what God's doing with Gideon. So that thing that you're going through right now, maybe you feel like God has called you to start a business and fund missionaries. But your business isn't going so well. Maybe you just feel like you're doing this. But when you come through on the other side, you're going to be like, listen, my faith is not in money or finances. My faith is in God who delivered me through this. And what happens is when you walk through that fear, when you walk through those uncertain times and you build your trust on Jesus Christ, it can never, ever be taken from you. It doesn't matter what you go through. Listen, my daughter, when she was born and we thought that she was going to die, I had to find my trust in Jesus. I had to find my trust in God. And so no matter what I face now, My trust is in God. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean I'm going to be happy about it. But my trust in God can never be taken from me. Outcomes may change and circumstances and situations may change, but God's never going to change. He's never going to give up on you. And that fear you have, that lack of courage, that may be God preparing you for what He made you for. Listen, God is working in you. God's love is not tied up in your circumstances. It is tied up in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That will never change. Just because it's hard, just because your situation or your circumstances is hard, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you, that He's not in it, or that He doesn't care about you. God might just be trying to work some stuff out in you to prepare you for what it is He has called you to. Because every one of you, you have a call. God made you with a purpose. You have a plan. And how many of you know if God were to put you where you would end up, you wouldn't be ready? If anyone had ever told me I would be doing the things that I'm doing right now 3 years ago when I came into ministry, I would have never believed them. Because God had to work stuff out in me. God had to have me walk backwards a little bit to see that He was preparing me, that He was shaping me, that He was molding me to be the man of God that He was calling me to. He's doing the same thing in each and every one of you. So that fear, that lack of courage, that's God shaping you. That's God preparing you for what it is He's calling you to. And what we're getting ready to do is we're going to open up these altars. And we're just going to give you the opportunity that if you are fearful, that you feel like you have a lack of courage and you need to step into that, we're going to open the altar. Because most of the time for us, our insecurities are always going to be there. The only person that can help you get rid of them is God and His strength. And He wants to. It's not like He's holding back from you. So here's what I want to do. First, I want to give you, if you have never received Jesus Christ, an opportunity to do that. What that means is that you accept that Jesus, the Son of God, lived a spotless, sinless, perfect life and then chose death on a cross for you. The Bible says that we will all give an account for our life. That means that we are all going to stand before God and have to tell Him what we have done with the life that He has given us. The problem is the Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Greek word for all is all. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are good enough to approach the Father. But because of what the Son did on the cross, because He became our sin, because He became our unrighteousness and paid the price for us, we are now allowed to be in relationship with the Father. And we are allowed to enter into heaven. Without Jesus Christ and without accepting Him as your Savior, you go to hell. That's black and white. And I wish that that wasn't the case sometimes, because that's never a good, feel-good sentence. There is no gray area. There is only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. I cannot imagine a father loving someone to give his son. I cannot. But He did it for every one of us in here. And you have the ability to step into a relationship with Him and His Son. So right now, I just want to close our eyes and bow our heads.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.